Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary Flames hockey's back, baby. Welcome to the big show in the morning on this Monday morning in the beautiful city of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Coming at you live from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios. Logan Gordon and Patrick Dumas along with you on this September 26th, 2022, following back-to-back wins for the Calgary Flames last
2-0
night.
2-0 start,
2-0, baby.
2-0, baby.
82-0 confirmed. Here we go. Plan the parade after split squad games against the Vancouver Canucks.
That was good. It was good to have it back.
It was so nice to have it back. It was split squad action last night, obviously. The game in Vancouver was televised on the Sportsnet Television Network for your viewing pleasure. Or you head to CalgaryFlames.com for the web stream. Or you listen to the game right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So you had plenty of ways to consume last night. We'll dive into that in just a couple of moments here. We saw debuts last night for a number of Flames, Patrick. Jonathan Huberdeau looking good in that red home jersey for the Calgary Flames last night. Potts his first as a Flame preseason, but still. Same with Cody Eakin.
Yep.
We saw Mackenzie Weegar make his Flames debut. Both wins for the Calgary Flames. And again, I mean, we're not going to sit here and put everything into a preseason win, but it's still nice to get back out there and see them, you know, in action on NHL ice again, and just means the regular season's that much closer.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. I mean, you got probably about half regulars, half AHLers here for the squad here in Calgary. And I think the fans, it was a good crowd. I think a lot of it was like to see the new Flames, seeing Huberdeau, seeing Weegar, and then seeing that top line, which a lot of people were excited to see, which is potentially the top line they'll take into the season with Huberdeau, Lindholm, and Toffoli. Huberdeau getting on the goals on the goal sheet, getting the one goal. It was the only point to that top line they'll work it out. I mean, it's only their first game action and whatnot, but
You're saying you're concerned about the top line, Patrick.
That's
what I heard. I just heard you say that you think it's already a disaster. You need to break it up. You think Toffoli's a bust, and
they
that's,
only
a, that's about it. Only one point.
That's
what I heard you say. why don't we hear that goal, by the way?
Sure.
Derek Wills and Peter Laborde's back on the call last night at the Saddle Dome with Huberdeau's first as a Flame.
In tight, Huberdeau trying to go backhand to forehand. They score! Flames get a 5-on-3 power play and hit Hader. Jonathan Huberdeau in his Flames debut banks the puck into the Canucks net, and it is 1-0 Flames.
A nice debut from Jonathan Huberdeau.
Is that, you think that's what he was going for?
I don't know. I think it was an accident, but it was funny.
When you talk a lot, it happens. yes, Jonathan Huberdeau with his first as a Flame. Skating on a line with Elias Lindholm and Tyler Toffoli. That's kind of been the, you know, main line that's been together for the Calgary Flames. Other lines, we saw the Dubé, Backlund, Coleman line reunited last night in Calgary as well. That's another one that we've seen continuing from training camp. Nazem Kadri didn't play last night. That's not a surprise. Daryl Sutter has said he's going to take the approach of letting Naz ease into this, similar to last season's training camp for Blake Coleman, coming off of that, you know, long Stanley Cup playoff run. And even a guy, I mean, you know, he wasn't here in training camp, but Tyler Toffoli also now with a full summer. He was in that Stanley Cup final a year ago, too. So, or 2 years ago, I guess, now. Mm-hmm. But so we'll see how much action guys like Kadri, Tanev, et cetera, get during this preseason. But I guess we'll dive into it more with Peter Laborde. It's just after 7 o'clock today. Did you have general impressions? Was anybody that stood out to you in either? Well, let's start with the one here in Calgary. You talked about Huberdeau a bit there. Was anybody that stood out, good or bad, for you?
I mean, it wasn't. It was like you can't really take a lot. I mean, there was some good, you know, I thought Rasmus Anderson was really good. He played 24 minutes last night as well. That's a hefty workload for preseason night number one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate or not, because Matt had threw this out on Twitter last night that the NHL time on ice,
they're the way they
machine
collect,
had gone a little bit off.
That's possible because everybody's like over 10 minutes. It's almost like everybody's over 10 minutes.
Yeah,
because
he posted it, I believe, after the second period, and the time on ice had, I think Ras had 34 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he
was after 20 minutes of after two periods, so I think it was a bit off.
Well, I mean, just going on the game sheet right now. Yeah. It says 24-16 ice time for Rasmus. That does seem like a lot. Like all the defense was playing over 15 minutes. Like Jeremy Poirier pulled like almost 16 minutes of ice time, and
like I guess it's possible.
But either way, like either like whatever. I thought like it was tough to like my stream was having issues. Trying to follow up with this one, I kind of paid more attention to the game out in Vancouver, to be honest with you. But John, I guess just seeing like Michael Backlund made a nice pass to get set up the Cody Eakin goal. I believe it was off a rebound or something like that. But Backlund made a nice rush. He had 2 points as well. It's just week, game one. You know, getting the feelers out. I know the Vancouver side, they didn't really drive. They sent the Abbotsford Canucks Twitter team to cover the game, so they knew what Vancouver side. I know they had like Curtis Lazar on the squad, Nils Höglander as well. But
the cavalcade of stars that came to town.
Exactly right. You know, but this is not much to take away from it. Just everybody stays healthy. I thought Dan Vladar looked all right for the action he faced out in the action here in Calgary. And the PTO guys, I thought Eakin and Milano looked all right as well.
Yeah, they were skating on a line with Connor Zary last night, so that's an interesting combination to look at, because you've got let's be honest, an AHL center right now in Connor Zary skating, between two guys that are trying to make as big of an impression as they can on Flames management to get a job here. So that was interesting. Eakin, like you mentioned, did get that goal in the second period. Milano is off of the score sheet when it comes to scoring, but he did score in that Flame scrimmage the other day. And I thought he showed out pretty well, actually. I thought he was noticeable, which is probably what you want at a minimum during these preseason games, is if you're not going to have a massive impact, at least make sure that I can tell that you're out there. Mm-hmm. So that's good. I thought the first power play unit got lots of time together. Tried to.
I mean, they had a lot of opportunities
they
sure
for did. Sure. Yeah, like it was preseason for the refs as well.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
Seven. They missed those whistles in the offseason.
Seven power plays for the Flames in the game here in Calgary. They scored on three of them.
Jeez.
You could tell, like, with the 4-0 scoreline.
Yes.
It was all on the power play. It was done. And even in the outing game in Vancouver, the Flames were the power play eight times. And then it was Michael Stone in overtime that actually got the winner as well off a nice. I believe who got the Matthew Phillips made a nice assist on the game winner for Michael Stone. Like Sutter had a nice line as well in the post game. Like somebody asked him about, did you see the Michael Stone winner? He was like, no, we were in the first period in our game.
Speaking of the of the head coach, here is Daryl Sutter post game. As Patrick mentions there, obviously these are just mainly thoughts on the group that he saw here in Calgary.
Kirk
Muller coached out in Vancouver for the split squad game. So Daryl pretty much just focused on his own group here in Calgary. Here's the head coach's thoughts after his group in Calgary picked up a 4-0 win.
What was that moment like toward the end of the game for you to be on the bench and see live as unscored one?
He scored here before.
But on the bench for it,
would
it make any difference for you?
No. We've been doing it for 50 years, all of us, so not much difference. Maybe even more, one of us, so.
How about that top line? Is some chemistry building there tonight?
Not really. I think it was a typical preseason start. Just it's kind of a sluggish deal. But first, we got better as it went along. They did, too.
Anyone stand out for you?
Well, I think it's the veteran guys, they're trying to work on their game as they go along, and then there's guys that are trying to prove themselves, right? So I'm glad Vladdy and Oscar, it's important they get off to good starts. It's important, Vladdy had a good training camp last year, gained some confidence in his game, so that's good for him, and it's good for Oscar coming over to get a good period under his belt.
What did you think of Jeremy Poirier's play? Got a lot of power plays.
It's good with the puck. Got lots of work to do.
I know it's early, but Huberto scored from the exact spot that Tkachuk used to score a lot of goals. Do you see him playing a similar role down low, or is he going to be on the wall? Is he going to be
power play?
Yeah, on the point.
Yeah, I don't think that's his natural spot, but you know, until we get a full lineup, those guys are just, they'll work their way into it.
Sorry to follow up on the last question. When you say Poirier has a lot of work to do, what does he need to do?
Sticks, angles, checking, important parts of the game.
What sort of happens after split squads? How do you go back and sort of do you watch video of the game in Vancouver?
Or we watch the first period live, and then sure we'll look at some of it tomorrow. But that's why Kirk and Ryan are there too.
During the intermission, it was playing live on the Jumbotron. The overtime goal. Did you get to watch it live?
I said I watched the first period, and that was it. So first period is not overtime.
Yeah.
On the Jumbotron, the overtime goal, did you get to watch it live?
I said I watched the first period, and that was it. So first period is not overtime.
It is not overtime.
It is not overtime. In case you weren't aware, the first period is not overtime.
Daryl in mid-season form, and it's only September 25th last night.
Yeah, I mean, he was in mid-season form from day one. That man's always game ready.
He's always on.
So the Calgary game last night is what it is. It's a much more veteran-laden team. I think the Flames were expected to come out of that one with a result. Game in Vancouver a little bit differently as these go in split squad action, Patrick. Much more NHL lineup for Vancouver. I actually thought the group that went for Calgary held their own pretty well, all things considered.
I mean, they got out to the 2-0 lead. Mitch McLean, Ben Jones opening the scoring there. Mitch McLean had a nice opening goal.
I thought Mitch McLean had a very noticeable game, by the way.
Yeah, and for a team, like, I'll just pop up the, where is it here? Yeah, the Vancouver, they sent, they have Emilio, Patterson's in that lineup, Garland's in that lineup, Horvat skating, Paul Colson, Andre Kuzmenko made his debut for Vancouver as well. So it was kind of like similar to probably what the lineup that the Flames played here, but half regulars, half AHLers. I would figure.
Yeah, but I would still say
more
talented lineup than the Flames sent.
Oh, yeah.
And held well.
And Dustin Wolf made tremendous. He played the entire way as well. He made some great saves. I thought Val Mackey was really good. And a good start for Michael Stone getting the game winner in overtime.
Just give him a contract.
I mean, he's going to be seventh defenseman.
They're going to do it.
Adam Klapka, who had the goal in the inter-squad game on the weekend, had a nice picked out the corner there and got in a fight with Vincent Arsenault. Literally his job.
Yeah, hasn't thrown the gloves off a lot, despite being a mountain of a man.
Arsenault had 11 minutes in penalties last night. He had already taken three minors before the fight with Klapka.
Got to make an impression.
Well, exactly. It ain't good for Klapka to drop the gloves with a guy who's, you know, almost 10 years older than him, who's been an AHL grinder his entire career. You got to be careful for sure. But
he wasn't exactly ready for that.
No, and it showed. But, I mean, good on Klapka for stepping up and trying to fight him. I mean, the result wasn't the greatest.
I think is Big Earn still doing extra work with the Calgary Flames? Because if he is, I think we could use... I saw the Flyers had Anthony Stewart out a couple weeks ago going through some of the young guys and just, you know, how to protect yourself and a couple of things if you get in a fight and that sort of thing. People will always have, you know, negative opinions on everything and someone will have a problem with fighting and it is what it is. And there was a scary situation in the Penguins Blue Jackets split squad yesterday with a fight. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a part of the game and I think it's something that, you know, guys have traditionally used, especially in preseason, to try to make an impression.
Of course.
And you're right. Good on Adam Klapka for dropping the gloves. He's 6'8 and 230 pounds. He can certainly hold his own in that respect. but it looked like the guy had never been in a fight in his life. And that's, to me, where it can get kind of dangerous, is in that sort of situation. So it just, I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the kid trying to go out and make an impression, but still, you got to be a little careful. He got caught with one pretty big one.
Yeah.
And managed to keep up. But, you know, hey, it's preseason. It's a 22-year-old that's made a pretty good impression mm-hmm. going back to Penticton and wants to keep it going into the preseason. How long he lasts, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see. Who, you said Stone, you said Valimaki.
Yeah.
Kevin Rooney made his Flames debut, centering a line with Richie and Lucic last night. You also had a line of Pelche, Ruzicka, Phillips. Cole Schwint was on a line with Pospisil and Lewis. Anybody else that stood out for you? I thought Zadorov in 3-on-3 overtime was absolutely wonderful to watch. He's just giving her, skating around. I can't remember the Canuck that slowed up once he got into the offensive zone. And Zadorov was like the second guy in on the back check, and the guy just stops, and Zadorov just runs him over coming back. Anybody else that stood out for you? I thought Wolf was great.
I thought Dustin Wolf is great. I think I would love to see him in a game here in Calgary for sure. Maybe, you know, like I just give him a full run here in a preseason game, and with maybe some of the bigger names as well. But he didn't look out of place one bit. I thought Matthias Emilio Pettersson had a night. He had a nice pass on the McLean goal, I believe it was. Didn't play a lot, but no, it's like Jake Pelletier had a nice game as well. It's exactly what you wanted. Like everybody looked pretty good. Nobody looked out of place, really. You know, it's a well. And like I said, Kirk Muller and
Ryan Huska,
sorry, they were there coaching, and they were bringing the same style that Daryl Sutter was obviously going to bring. This is exactly what you wanted. They shot the lights out of Vancouver, 45-28, which is crazy to finally. Well, this is mainly an AHL-laden team, so.
Yeah, I mean, that fits the Flames narrative, though. I think, you know, Daryl always talks about pucks on net and give as many chances as you can, that sort of stuff. So I thought they... Yeah, showed out well. Two wins for the Calgary Flames last night in Vancouver and in Calgary. And
text line. Klapka can take a punch, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like I said, the guy got bodied on one of them.
Yeah.
And stood up and kept throwing. So I'll give him that all day long. He kind of looked like a fish out of water. Mm. He had reach. He had a whole lot of other advantages. And just wasn't able to take advantage of any of them, which is... ironic in all of it, but actually, why don't we listen back to that? I believe we have.
Yeah. The fight is in there, exactly.
I believe we have. Yeah, here's Adam Klapka, his NHL preseason debut, getting into it and dropping the gloves.
Now Vincent Arsenault follows up and pokes it out to center ice. He and Klapka are going to drop the gloves behind the play. Vincent Arsenault and Adam Klapka, a couple of big boys, are going to come together in the neutral zone. As they try to engage, Klapka swings with his right, only catches air. Arsenault coming around with the left-handed one right on the button on Klapka. It felled him for a moment. He's back on his feet. Arsenault again with the left. Klapka is reeling, trying to get his right hand free. Now Arsenault comes around with the right, lands another one right on the nose of Adam Klapka, who's in for more than he bargained for here, I think, with the veteran Vincent Arsenault, who's got the left hand free again. And now the linesmen are going to get in and separate them. A decisive win in that scrap for the veteran 30-year-old Vincent Arsenault against the young buck 22-year-old Adam Klapka.
Yeah.
Well, you can hear it. I mean, I don't have to. You don't need visuals to. Not that I'm going to provide them for you. This is radio. Yeah, you don't really need to hear, you know, to see it. To
you can go on Twitter and find the fight.
Yeah. He stood in there, as they mentioned at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more experienced man at 30 years old in Arsenault than 22-year-old Klapka. But hey, you want to make an impression, you want to stand out. Good on you for doing that, as Adam Klapka, I didn't think was as effective as he was in the Penticton tournament. Had a couple of moments, but wasn't, you know, as expected. You know, once you're diving into more NHL, AHL lineups, it's going to be harder to stand out. That's what's going to happen as the preseason goes on. One guy I did want to talk about, and we'll it's just a guy that you can't seem to shake if you're the Calgary Flames, and I see a lot of people talking about it, and I see a lot of people wondering about it, is Matthew Phillips.
Yeah.
I don't know if Matthew Phillips is going to be an NHLer. I really don't. He's made his NHL debut a couple years ago. He gets talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The AHL numbers have been really strong for Phillips again. I thought he showed out well last night. His speed is noticeable.
Yep.
His work ethic is certainly noticeable. You can tell he's got skill. It was a great setup on that power play in overtime. Pelche, Phillips. Phillips finds Stone on the other side, and it's, you know, good night. You're off to the Roxy for Vancouver. What do you make of Phillips? I don't know that if it's there or not. I feel like the organization kind of knows what he is at this point. It's a weird, because people always talk about him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll have more conversations about him through the preseason.
I think this is a guy that, like, there's just no room for him right now. And I don't, he could be a possible, couple first call-ups and whatnot. I think for Matthew Phillips, his job is to contribute right now with the Wranglers and just do what he can there in their top six, continue to make that team strong, as it was last year in Stockton. And, you know, again, you know, these guys aren't blind. They're not going to ignore the Matthew Phillips assist on Michael Stone. They're going to watch that. They're going to evaluate that. They're going to talk about it. And when Matthew Phillips is back here, and they'll work with it. It's just not going to happen. I just don't see it happening here unless there's mass injuries on that bottom six where he can find a way in.
I just don't think it's going to be a bottom six. I think that's the problem.
That's the thing. Like, he's more, six, much more skilled.
5'8" guys playing bottom six. And I'm not saying that a 5'8" guy can't make the NHL and be effective. There's a history of that. And I think still to this day, a guy his size get, you know, undervalued because he's not 6'4". Uh-huh. If he was even 6 feet, he'd be thought of in much different terms.
For sure.
But I'll say this. He's a right shot. He's still only 24 years old. If he puts up numbers like he did in Stockton last year for any part of this season, I think the Flames have to consider it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was above point a game in Stockton last year. That's now his fourth year that he's been in at least 30 games for the Stockton Heat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not new to the organization. He's not new to what he's done. He earned that one game in the 2020-21 season, which, you know, I don't know how much value you put in those. It's really more of a thank you or a reward for your hard work than anything. But I don't know that Matthew Phillips sits there and says, well, you know, I got my one in and that's it. It was a meaningless game in the end of the season. I'm content with that. I also don't think that the jury's out on him. I mean, Oliver Shillington just really made his first NHL impact last year, and he was 25. I don't think at 24 that Matthew Phillips has pushed himself out of it.
And not to say there's not a job there waiting. Like, there's two PTO guys in camp. Phillips is under a contract.
Well, I guess that's the thing is, you if you're Matthew Phillips, you have to, that's what I would that's be doing. That's who you have to be.
Be better than Eakin and Milano.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys you're probably fighting with for a gig here.
I'd say so. Now, you know.
And now Mangiapane will come back. Then there's only one job left, probably, in that top nine.
Well, I think there's only one, period.
Yeah.
I think they're both there now, but really there's only one job. We'll see. I know people were curious about him last night. I know a lot of people watched that game on TV were curious.
Just keep doing that. Keep doing those type of plays. You'll find a spot here.
Very hard to ignore, right? And Brad's said it multiple times. He said it to Pat last week on Flames Talk when they had an exclusive one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
If you earn a job, you'll be here. They do not care where you came from. If you had a contract, a PTO, you're an AHL. If you earn a job, there's a spot for you. If you do what you did last night and you're Matthew Phillips, you're in pretty good shape to get a job, I'd say. But can he do that? I don't know.
Keep doing it.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll dive more into the Calgary Flames conversation just after 7 o'clock with Peter Labardius. We'll also have some Blue Jays with Ben Nicholson Smith at 7:30. The morning report coming up with Patrick Dumont in just a couple of moments. And I want to remind you, our special announcement coming up this morning, just after 8 o'clock, be tuned in right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan for a special announcement. A couple of guests going to join us, Patrick, to help us with this announcement.
Ooh!
We'll be tuned in just a couple minutes after 8 o'clock.
8:05.
Yeah, we'll call it 8:05. A couple of guests going to join us, and we'll bring you that announcement that we teased last week here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it locked here. The Morning Report with Patrick Dumont is next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But to take a look at what we missed across the sporting world over the weekend and yesterday, we turn things over to Patrick Dumont for the Morning Report. It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service, and a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes. 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Patrick, where are we starting on the Morning Report?
Well, I might as well. Let's start with the Calgary Flames. They played two yesterday. First real hockey of 2022-2023 season. Yeah, it's preseason. The Flames for real on our airwaves. We'll start with the game in Vancouver. This one was seen on Sportsnet West. The Flames sending their fourth line and three-fourths of their AHL squad to Vancity. Canucks going with about half regulars, half AHLers. Scoring? Flames would open it midway through the first period.
Here's Emilio Petersen into the Vancouver zone, centering feet, and a backhand goal scored by Mitch McLean. In all alone behind the Vancouver defense, beat Spencer Martin glove side, and the Flames lead 1-0.
Nice feed from Emilio Petersen to Mitch McLean. That would make the Flames go up 1-0. Dustin Wolf getting the start for the Flames, makes a great save on Bo Horvat, keeping it 1-0, and that would be the score through 20. We'd have to wait some time for our next goal. Late second period.
Jones, hard wrist shot, goes wide of the net of Spencer Martin. Rebound chance, and then it's thrown in from below the goal line. A bank play from behind the net. It's Ben Jones who will get the goal for the Flames as it hit Martin in the back of the leg. Rolled across the goal line, and it's 2-0 Calgary with 1:19 left in the second.
Flames out shooting Vancouver 25-16 through 40 minutes, up 2-0 in the third period. Vancouver would make a change in net. Spencer Martin out. Archer Silvos in now. Adam Klapka, he had a nice goal in the inter-squad game over the weekend, trying to make a name for himself. We talked about it last segment. Got himself into a bit of a tilly with Vincent Arsenault, who had, you know, been in the box three times already in the night up to this point. Klapka, yeah, he took some shots held in there, but that fight definitely sparked the Canucks. Vasily Podkolzin would make it 2-1, then 2-1 after 20 seconds after that fight. And then with the goalie pulled, Connor Garland would tie it. So we got some free hockey in the preseason opener. And in overtime, both teams already having a parade to the penalty box. 15 penalties in total on the night, which is expected with these lineups in the first preseason game. Podkolzin takes a tripping call. Flames to the power play for the 8th time tonight.
Again to Pelche. They'll switch places. Jacob Pelche to Matthew Phillips. Right circle to the back door. Michael Stone scores! And that'll do it. A nice one-timer from the left circle by Michael Stone. Beats Archer Silovs on the stick side. And the Flames get the overtime winner and take it tonight in Vancouver by a final score of 3-2.
Michael Stone does what he does better than most people. One-time clappers from the point. Wins it on a nice feed from Matthew Phillips. Flames win the first game 3-2 in overtime. So that was the game in Vancouver. About an hour later at the Scotiabank Saddledome in our neck of the woods, the Flames and Canucks played another split squad game. Heard right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Flames dressing a similar style to the lineup that the Canucks had in Vancouver, about half regulars, half AHLers, including new Flames Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar taking their first skates in Flames silk. Dan Vladar getting the start in net. Vancouver literally sending the Abbotsford Canucks to Calgary. They even had their social media team tweet out updates for the game. I guess Curtis Lazar was also on the side as well.
A couple of NHLers.
Nils Höglander.
Don't be like that.
But a very AHL approach from the Canucks. Flames trotting out the top line. I think most Flames fans are excited to see that potential top line of Huberdeau, Lindholm, and Toffoli. It was a low event, penalty-filled, scoreless first period. The penalties would continue in the middle frame. Tyler Toffoli would get a roughing call 48 seconds into the frame. Then Nils Höglander would get called for slashing. That to do it for the Canucks power play. Then 52 seconds later, Danilija Klimkovic gets called for hooking. Flames now on a 5-on-3.
In tight, Huberdeau trying to go backhand to forehand. They score! Flames get a 5-on-3 power play and hit Hader. Jonathan Huberdeau in his Flames debut. Banks the puck into the Canucks net.
and it is 1-0 Flames.
Jonathan Huberdeau, first of many, hopefully. It was just preseason, but the first goal of the Flames for the new number 10, Jonathan Huberdeau. Great crowd in attendance. Wouldn't have to wait long for goal number two.
A big hit by Backlund, who steals the puck, steps in and shoots. Delia the save, rebound, and they score! Cody Eakin, in the right place at the right time, taps the puck into a wide-open Canucks net and makes it 2-0 Flames.
Eakin on the PTO trying to make this squad. Buries the juicy rebound off of Colin Delia. Flames lead 2-0. John Stevens then takes an interference call. No, not former Flyers and Kings head coach current Golden Knights assistant John Stevens. Vancouver Canuck John Stevens. Flames back to the power play.
Back to Coleman, winding and firing. He scores! A cannonading drive off the stick of Blake Coleman. The Flames score another power play goal and take a 3-0 lead.
Derek Wills with a cannonading drive from Blake Coleman. That makes it 3-0. Flames entering the final frame. Goalie change for both teams. Oscar Dansk in for Vladar. Michael DiPietro in for Delia. Real late now. More penalty trouble for the Canucks. Brady Keeper gets called for interference with a minute left. The coach puts his son out on the power play.
Back into the slot. Dewar, a backhand shot. And it goes fluttering just wide. And now they jam away in front and score. Brett Sutter swats the puck into the Canucks net. The Flames score their third power play goal of the game and take a 4-0 lead.
You know, that goal went over well in that building. Brett Sutter likely probably captaining the Wranglers this year, but getting a chance to play with the big club in the preseason opener. Flames take the second split squad game as well, 4-0. Calgary finishes 3-for-7 on the power play and start the preseason off 2-0. Next action for Calgary will be in Seattle on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. We'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, two wins to start things. Obviously, it's difficult to get a feel on both of those games. Split squad, you're only seeing a couple of lines and pairings that you've seen through training camp, but I thought some guys stood out. Matthew Phillips, great finish to get that puck to Stone in the overtime winner. He was somebody that a lot of people pointed out from that game in Vancouver. I thought Vladar was good in the game in Calgary. And you know what? Good to see Jonathan Huberdeau get that first one. Doesn't have to worry about any sort of, I haven't scored the Saddle Dome yet sort of thing. He's got that already under his belt. And for the crowd that was there last night at the preseason opener, I'm sure they were, that's probably what they were going for.
Oh, yeah.
To see Jonathan Huberdeau score like that. So that works out pretty well.
I think it was Eric Francis on Twitter or something. Said it was probably the biggest crowd that Huberdeau and Uyghur saw.
Yeah,
so.
That's...
Little jabs at the old
low-hanging fruit.
It is. No more jabs at Florida.
Plenty of Florida fans mentioned last year the Panthers averaged slightly higher attendance than the Flames.
They drew better. So
that's kind of hard to make that.
Yeah,
that's
for
chill,
sure.
But that is what it is.
Some NHL news from yesterday. I know Cali Yarncroke, he scored the two goals for the Leafs in their game on Saturday.
That boy Cali.
He had one goal in 29 games with the Flames. So he's got two goals in his first preseason game with the Leafs. Johnny Gaudreau had three assists. Johnny Gaudreau.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Barkley Gaudreau. He had three assists in a 5-1 win over the Penguins in one split squad game. And James Neal, he scored in the other but lost 3-2 in overtime. And the Jets, they were blanked 4-0 up the road in Edmonton. Baseball! Jays trying to earn a split with the Tampa Bay Rays, entering a game up on Tampa for the first wildcard spots. You know, this was a massive game, even though Toronto failed to earn the series victory over Tampa. Putting more space between you and them would be vital, with this being their final meeting of the regular season. Alec Manoah, he was great on Saturday. Ross Stripling getting the bump on Sunday in the finale. He's been, and then they were up against Shane McClanahan. He's been lights out since coming off the IL. The story of this one, the offense was late on Saturday, not so much on Sunday. We'll pick this one up in the second inning.
1-2. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep left field. A Rosarena turns around. That ball is long gone. And the Blue Jays have a 1-0 lead on a solo shot from Alejandro Kirk.
That's his 14th. That opens the scoring for Toronto. Next inning for the Jays. One on, nobody out for George Springer.
First time up. Now he'll drive one the opposite way out to right. Margot circles it, turns around at the wall. It's gone! George Springer with a line drive home run the opposite way. It's a two-run homer off of McClanahan, and the Blue Jays have a 3-0 lead.
That is why you pay this guy $150 million to play for your ball club, big at-bats in September, and hopefully soon October. That's an opposite field jack. That makes it 3-0. Top five for the Jays. George back at the dish.
Right back into the wind, the 3-1. High fly ball, straightaway center field. Back goes Siri at the wall. Stop, reaches up, and that ball is gone. A two-homer day for George Springer. A solo home run rising to the batter's eye and out of here. 4-1 Blue Jays.
Straightaway center, 439 feet. And all Jose Siri could do was watch it fly into the dull air at the Trop. 4-0 Jays. Stripling would pitch the bottom half of the fifth. That would be his final inning of work. Very tidy from Strips. He'd allow one earned run. Didn't walk anybody. Bullpen would go to work. Zach Pop, Adam Simber, Trevor Richards, Yusei Kikuchi would all get an inning, combining for 7 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 walk, and no runs. Top 8, Teoscar Hernandez puts this one to rest.
The 0-1 is absolutely hammered. Deep out to left field, soaring into the second deck. Uncharted territory here at the Tropicana Field. And Teoscar Hernandez absolutely destroys a 2-run home run.
He sure did. That would make it 6-1. Vladdy would add an RBI in the ninth. Jays win 7-1, putting 2 games between themselves and the Rays and Mariners for that first wild card spot. This game against Tampa Bay put a cap on a stretch of 16 of 21 games against the Rays and Orioles. The Jays went 10-6 in those games, so I'd say job well done. Toronto's magic number to clinch a playoff spot is now down to 5. Jays back home tonight welcoming the Yankees for 3. We'll have that one for you right here on Sportsnet 960. You can watch it on Sportsnet West. Judge watch. He failed to hit one home run over the weekend. He failed to hit one home run to take the record and power tie Maris over the Red Sox. So Rogers Center could be the site for some history this week. Anything from the Jays and Rays?
Glad we're done with that. Field is just...
I don't want to go back there.
No, no more of that. That's just one of those places that just... I don't know.
It's a mall. It is a mall.
Good or bad, and it's usually bad for the Jays. So, hey, they won. Get out of there. It's going to be hard to keep Judge off of history watch in Toronto, but should make for some good crowds and some excitement late in the season. So, should be a good series.
The rest of the Major League Baseball story, Baltimore Orioles entered Sunday's action 4 games out of the final wild card spot with a chance to take 3 of 4 from the Astros. And with the way the Tampa Bay and Seattle are playing, I'm still not counting the O's out. This one needed extras for a second day, straight day. Houston scores 3 in the 11th to win 6-3, picking up their 101st win on the year. Orioles still 4 games out. Mariners looking to stop the bleeding as they've lost 6 of their last 10, and this one was, oh my God, trying to earn a series victory versus the Royals. The offense was flowing early for the M's. They get out to an 11-2 lead after their half of the 6th. Seattle cruising, going to the second wildcard spot, and with the new $100 million man, Luis Castillo on the mound. This one, yeah, you think set in stone, the column's written, the flight back home is going to rock. Not so fast, sweetheart. That's why pencils have erasers or keyboards have backspace buttons. The Royals chase Castillo in the 6th, erupting for 11 runs, the biggest inning for Kansas City since 2004. Royals win 13-12, so Seattle stays in the tie for the second wildcard spot with Tampa Bay. Shout out to my AL Manager of the Year pick, Terry Francona, and his Cleveland Guardians, picked by many not to compete in that division, let alone win it. They clinch it with a 7th straight win, 10-4 over the Rangers. Guardians would currently host the Mariners in a best of 3 if the season ended today. Like I mentioned earlier, the Yankees looking for a 7th straight win and a sweep over the Red Sox. And despite all the distractions surrounding Aaron Judge's chase for AL history, the Yankees have seemingly found that next gear as they zero in on the AL East crown. This one was 2-0 after 6. Aaron Judge was on deck to lead off the 7th, but then the heavens opened up. The game was called. The Yankees get the win in a shortened one. Their magic number to clinch the division is down to 2. Aaron Judge stuck on 60. Yankees begin a 3-game set with the Jays tonight at Rogers Center. And over on the National League side, the Brewers in serious need of victories. They drop one to the Reds 2-1. But the good news is they're only a game and a half back. That's because Philly lost 8-7 in extras to the Braves. The Padres, they're also playing good ball. They pick up their 7th win in the last 10 with a 13-6 thumping of the Rockies. They go a game and a half up on the Phils. That's the baseball story. To the NFL, week 3, we'll kind of speed through this one. We'll talk about it more in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll start in, maybe the upset of the day in Indianapolis, home opener for the Colts. A tie in week 1 against Houston, then a shutout loss in Jacksonville. Just about the teams not making it. We just talked about like 0-3 teams. You go 0-3, you're not making the playoffs. So Indy needed this win, and they're without their best defensive player in Shaq Leonard. The D came to play, holding Pat Mahomes to a 78.6 quarterback rating and only 58 yards on the ground. Kansas City had multiple opportunities to put this game away. Then their backup kicker, Matt Amendola, missed a field goal that would have made the Chiefs go up a touchdown late. Colts would then go on a 76-yard, 16-play drive with already one touchdown on the day. Jelani Woods plays hero.
Here he goes from the 20. He throws it to the end zone. The Colts have taken the lead with 24 seconds remaining.
Colts would pick off Mahomes to seal this one away. After that one, Indy wins 20-17. Minnesota Vikings, they were at home taking on the Detroit Lions. Kirk Cousins, 4-0 all-time at home against the Detroit Lions. Good news for him, it wasn't a night game either. Not the greatest game offensively, however. They'd lose Dalvin Cook to a shoulder injury. But then, you know, Detroit holding on. They could have made it a touchdown game. Austin Seibert misses a field goal, and the Vikings have one more shot to try and win this one.
Play today for this Minnesota offense. Cousins, he's got him! Touchdown! It's Osborne again! And Minnesota is in front with 45 seconds to play!
The Vikings win 28-24 to improve to 2-1. The other NFC North team that won on Sunday, the Packers, they were taking on the Bucs in Tampa Bay, possibly the last meeting between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Tampa Bay's receiver room is depleted. Down Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones. Packers were also without Sammy Watkins and Christian Watson. But it was Rodgers that was able to use his depth receivers better than Brady. One touchdown to rookie Romeo Dubs. Then one more to Alan Lazard was enough. Packers also frustrated Brady defensively, sacking him three times. Nothing much offensively going in the second half. Brady would find Russell Gage with 14 seconds left. Should have got called for delay of game there. Refs missed it. Then on the two-point conversion, they did get called for defense for delay of game. So the two-point conversion gets moved from the two-yard line to the seven-yard line. So instead of handing it off to Leonard Fournette, they had to throw it. This is how this one ended.
Pressure steps away. Throwing tip! Incomplete! The Packers are going to win it. Devondre Campbell says no. He got his hands on it. And Green Bay's going to hang on.
Packers pick up a big win and prove it to 2-1. Bucks, they're struggling right now offensively. And they got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs coming into their building next Sunday night. One more game I want to talk about. Sunday night football.
Let's ride.
Yeah, the Broncos hosting the 49ers with Jimmy G back under center with Trey Lance season done. This game was crap, not going to lie. The offense looked out of sync for Denver. The booing of set offense is well hurt.
You're too kind.
Jimmy G, the game was like 7-3 at this point. Niners backed up into their own end. Jimmy G forgets where the back line is, gives up a safety. It's now 7-5. Giants and Rockies happening on Sunday Night Football. Denver sputtering on offense. After another 3-and-out, the Niners would add to their lead with a Robbie Gould 41-yard field goal. Next drive for the Broncos. This is the best drive they had all night.
Let's ride.
That man from a whole pack of Badgers engineers a 12-play, 80-yard drive. Melvin Gordon would punch it in, giving the Broncos their first lead of the night. And then it was the defense that put this one on ice. Jonas Griffith picks off Garoppolo. The Niners would get one more shot, but Jeff Wilson Jr., hold on to the damn ball.
Cost about 15 seconds. Garoppolo just trying to get it out. Wilson has it on the run. Lost the football. Denver's got it. And Denver's got this one.
Broncos win 11-10. Away from the field, Rihanna, she was announced as the halftime entertainment for Super Bowl 57 this February in Glendale, Arizona. Quickly run through this one. CFL Week 16. Stampeders picked up their first win over the Bombers or Lions this year with a 25-11 win. Not so good news. Left tackle Derek Dennis left this one with an injured leg. He had to be carted off with a cast on his right ankle. Hopefully the best we'll get the best of that one, but not good. Bryce Bell stepped in admirably. Stamps improved to 9-5, keeping pace with the Lions, but are still in third. Calgary hosts the East Division. Toronto Argonauts on Saturday at McMahon. Elsewhere from around the league, the Ticats come crashing back to earth as the Alouettes beat them 23-16. And the Argos, they dismantle the Red Blacks 45-15. President's Cup, not great for the international. Scott, we kind of knew that. They were just dismantled with the LIV Golf guys going there. With a chance to clinch it, Xander Schauffele on 18 up against Canadian Corey Connors makes the 6-foot putt to give the Americans their 15.5 point, clinching the title. They ended up winning 17.5 to 12.5.
Open wide for some soccer!
Calgary FC, they were back at home on Saturday hosting Atletico Ottawa. I had a good time with producer Alex and some listeners down at Spruce Meadows. Took all 5 minutes and to know this day was not going to go well.
Look at this from Ottawa! Are you kidding me? Blue Tabla!
What a finish that was.
An overhead kick from outside the box, Jimmy. The audacity from Blue. That is a statement goal very early in this match.
The audacity. Just a bicycle kick, great feed in. That would make it 1-0 Atletico. They'd make it 2-0 early in the second half. Cavs would get a Jose Escalante penalty in the 79th minute, but it was Malcolm Shaw of Ottawa 6 minutes later that would put this one away. Cavs fail to get the 3 points in the table that would have seen them go to top and clinch a playoff spot. They're currently third, 4 up on Valor. A win on the weekend at home would clinch a playoff spot for a fourth straight year. The Calgary Hitmen, they also kicked off their 2022-23 campaign this weekend with a home-and-home against the Swift Current Broncos. Friday's tilt saw the Hitmen earn a gutsy 2-1 win in Speedy Creek. And on Saturday at the Dome, with our very own Matty Rose on color next to the great Jeff Hollick, they saw a great home opener. Unfortunately, Hitmen would fall in the shootout. Oh, Logo, you were also at the game as well. Hitmen, their next game will be Sunday, this coming Sunday at the Dome for a 2 p.m. puck drop against Connor Bedard and the Regina Pats. Always a great chance to see the next potential NHL superstar in action. That is your morning report.
Thank you, Patrick. Just a quick side note to the NFL story. Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting this morning. The NFL is officially replacing the Pro Bowl.
Woo!
A multi-day skills competition and flag football game that will be played nice in Las Vegas the Sunday before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I think the skills competition part will be fun.
Yeah, no, I think
you used to love the quarterback contest.
Oh, the quarterback challenge was great. I mean, it was like they were, I don't even remember the last time one. It was like 2002 was the last time they did a QB challenge. But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the Pro Bowl has definitely lost its luster over the years ever since it got moved to before the Super Bowl. You know what? I mean, I guess the NFL just wants to get all the stars in Vegas, have them meet with the fans and whatnot. I get it. And this way, I mean, we watch the Pro Bowl. There's no tackling. There's no hitting. It's just awful. So I think flag football, you might see a little more competitive juices flowing for sure.
Your morning report from Patrick Dumont, brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors. Quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. He was back in the booth last night with some color commentary on the Flames and the Canucks. Peter Labardius joins the program next, talking some Flames hockey here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.